Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking a full range of Donegal jerseys and leisure wear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be hearing from former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle to look ahead to the games for Finn Harps and Derry City in the League of Ireland First and Premier Divisions this coming Friday evening. While Brendan Kilcoyne will be joining us as well to look ahead to the big Gaelic Games action. Our feature match, of course, this weekend is Donegal against Tyrone on Saturday evening in the opening round of the All-Ireland Championship. But tonight on The Score programme, there's only one place to start, and that, of course, is the RAS Tailteann. Donegal's Orin Dugan has taken the leader's yellow jersey. The Gaorta Horkman, who is riding with Team Cycling Ulster, finished third in today's second stage from Charlestown in Mayo to Clifton in Galway. His haul of points in the climbs and in the sprints was enough to take the outright lead on general classification, and he now becomes the first ever Donegal man to wear the leader's yellow jersey off the RAS. He also leads the points classification, the under 23 category, and is the top county rider as well. Former RAS competitor Sean McFadden will be joining us in a few moments, but first of all, the man himself, Orin Dugan. Welcome along to The Score programme tonight.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Listen, we're what, just a couple of hours after you achieved the goal of getting into the leader's yellow jersey in the RAS. What's the feeling like now at the moment, Orin?
That still hasn't settled in. Still a bit lost for words. Absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah. Listen, how did that come about today? Obviously, you had a super stage one yesterday. Today, you finished third, but you had to do a lot of work on the climbs and on the sprints to get those, I suppose, extra points and times to move into the yellow jersey. So you had to work really, really hard today, Orin, to take it.
Yeah. I definitely didn't make it easy on myself. Anyway, I was lucky yesterday. I got up the road and got them 6 bonus seconds that were on offer in the 2 separate sprints. And then today, yeah, I think I rode far too hard in the first half of the stage, where I had to then come back and kind of gather myself and recover. Then realised then that I'd actually missed the move. So then I got back to the front and yeah, just rode as hard as I could. Then ended up nipping off with a good strong group of about 6 or 7 of us, and yeah, it was a real hard road coming into the finish with 20k with a block headwind, but we all worked together and knew, yeah, if we got to the front group that I was definitely up with a chance of grabbing a jersey, yeah, or even a stage win. My goals when I came into this race was a stage win, so taking the yellow now is just a bonus. I haven't gotten the stage win yet, but I think, yeah, maybe taking the yellow might be even better.
Yeah. Well, listen, we've got a man also joining us here this evening who's an avid cycling fan, and he's following you this week, so he is. And he's done the RAS himself, and that, of course, is Sean McFadden, as we know from the Donegal Ultra 555. And I know, Sean, you've been in close contact with me over the last 2 days from the RAS and how Orin has been performing. But what an achievement today, and what an achievement for him, and I suppose everybody that's involved with him, that we now have a yellow jersey holder on the RAS, which is huge for cycling in the county.
I'm like Orin there, I'm kind of lost for words. Like, we're not shocked, because we knew over the years the standard and the talent that the Dugan family has in general, between Orin and Ciara and PJ. But for Orin to do what he's done today is just incredible for the county. You know, we've had close calls with the likes of Ron McLaughlin nearly winning the stage. We've had Joe Barr finishing third overall in 1987. We've had Paul Giles winning a stage into Letterkenny in 96. But for a young man like this, at 21 years of age, he's in his prime, to win the yellow jersey in the RAS, it's incredible. I was trying to get information there, and there's nobody else like Ronan McLaughlin to get information. We were trying to figure out, was he the youngest rider ever to hold the yellow jersey? Unfortunately, he's not, but he's holding it close to Stephen Roach. Stephen Roach won the RAS and he was 19. You know, he won the overall and he won the yellow jersey. This man's able to do this. Like, we're so proud of him. Like, he's come through the rankings of Errigal Cycling Club. the Ergel Youth Tour, all these things that he's done over the years. And like as James Harkins, chairman of the club, I just chatted to James Harkin. I've chatted to Eugene McGinnigan as the chairman of the club. And I've chatted to a lot of people. He's an absolute gentleman. You know, you see him on the road, he waves to you. He takes knowledge of it. He takes knowledge of young riders coming through. So for what he's done today for the county and for cycling in general, it's just incredible. Like, just take a bow, Owen Dugan. Like, it's unbelievable, Ashley.
Yeah, fantastic achievement. And listen, Owen, you're hearing the thoughts there of Sean McFadden, and there's a lot of people involved in cycling in this county as thinking the exact same way today. This has obviously been a dream of yours to get into this position from a very, very young age.
Yeah, it's definitely a dream come through. I remember being on the sidelines many a year ago. I think Sean might have actually been in the race himself and just, yeah, dreaming of being in it one day, never mind leading it one day. It's just, yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah,
incredible. Incredible. Leading it, like, mad.
It certainly is. It's not often that Sean McFadden stuck for words either, Roran. But listen, it's not over yet because it's only stage two. It's Thursday. We still have to go to Sunday, and you now have to get yourself right for stage three tomorrow. You'll be at the front of the peloton. You'll be at the front of the pack with this yellow jersey on you, and you'll be wearing it with pride. But it'll be coming with a wee bit of pressure as well, because you have to carry that now tomorrow.
This is it. There's a long way to go. It's only stage two. You know, we're not even halfway yet, but definitely I have my work cut out for me. And yeah, just looking forward to the next few days, getting stuck in, trying to defend it. And yeah, just riding as hard as I can to hold on to it.
Yep. You're leading the points. You're leading the under 23 rider. You're leading the county rider. You have the yellow jersey. This is massive as well for Cycling Ulster, so it is, for the team you're with this week.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't think the only jersey we don't have is the KOH. Yeah. So far, it couldn't really be much better. So yeah, we're definitely delighted with how it's going so far.
Yeah. Okay. Right. You have to recover now, don't you? And you have to be in the bed early and get yourself right for tomorrow. So, how do you deal with this intervening time now between the stage start and here we are talking this evening?
Well, I'm just going for a massage here now in 2 minutes after this call, and then try and get as much food into me in the evening, and we'll see then how I feel in the morning.
Okay. One more word, Sean, before we finish up. You have a lot of confidence in this young man, and the stage comes tomorrow. We're going from Cong and Mayo down into County Clare, so it's going to be a tough one tomorrow, but it's one that young Dugan, I'm sure, can meet and take on the task.
Oshin, yes, he's well able for the task, and you know, he's got a strong team behind him there. He's got young Kevin McCambridge, is won a stage of the RAS. He's got Lindsay Watson, he's got seasoned cyclists with him. He's got a real strong team through Cycling Ulster. And Owen knows, like, the RAS is not over yet, but listen, there is light at the end of the tunnel, and the RAS can be, one day you can be a hero and the next day you can be in the hedge, and we know that. So, you know, he has to take every stage and every kilometre bit by bit and just be focused on that. And like, listen, we're not doubting him for 1 minute that he can't win this bike race, and we know he can win this bike race, and everybody from Donegal is behind him, and there's other Donegal riders in that group as well, in that RAS, and hopefully they'll be thinking the same way as those in Donegal, that we need to get this jersey to the finish line and keeping the yellow jersey on Orne. And Orne, listen, Orne knows how to ride a bike. He's riding a bike since he's 4 years age. He understands, and his brother PJB schooling him, and his sister Kira will be schooling him, and he's got the best team behind him. So all we can do here in Donegal is wish him the best, and just keep her between the hedges, as I say. And you know, it's not over yet, and I'm confident this yellow jersey is going to come back to Donegal, and it will be a party to remember if it does. That's okay. All I can say.
Okay, well, all we can do, Owen, is, I know you're still in the meeting here with myself and Sean, is wish you the very best of luck and the continued success on the RAS, and get yourself right for tomorrow, young man. All right.
Thanks very much, and appreciate it.
Best of luck, Owen. All right, thanks, Sean, for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you. Take care. Bye bye.
Well, what a day for Owen Dugan, and indeed for Donegal Cycling, and also the other Donegal riders who are competing, Mitchell McLaughlin, Jamie Meehan and Luke Keeney, who are all riding very well for their respective teams in the RAS as well. But Owen Dugan is at the head of the field, and he will have the leader's yellow jersey heading into stage two, which leaves Cong in Mayo tomorrow and is off to County Clare. We wait to see how the weeks develop. Will there be a place in the top step of the podium for Oran Dugan come Sunday at the end of the event. Now, let's move to football and League of Ireland action this weekend for the North West sides. Fáil na Harps are taking on UCD tomorrow night in the First Division. That's a game that we will have live updates from tomorrow. Jeremy Doherty will be at Finn Park, 7:45 kickoff there. Well, in the top flight, Derry City are taking on Shamrock Rovers as two of the top sides are set to clash at the Brandywell. And Sligo Rovers are going to the champion Shelburne in two of the five games penciled in for tomorrow evening. Looking ahead to those this week was former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle, who's been speaking to Highland's Chris Ashmore.
Declan, as we look forward to the weekend, Kevin McHugh, I suppose team selection at the moment proving to be a little bit of an issue. There's a lot of players who are out through injuries. There's been suspensions. Last week, Mikey Place was away getting married. Now, David Cawley, vastly experienced player, for family reasons, unable to give the commitment. He's going to leave Harps, is stepping away. So that's a blow, because Harps, in terms of that sort of experience down the spine of the team, a little bit light in that regard.
Yeah, I think they are. Listen, I suppose it's all about, you know, the young lads have been given the opportunities, but, you know, in order for them to excel and get the best out of them, you do need to have experienced players around them to bring them on and, you know, to show them the ropes pretty much. But yeah, I mean, Dave Cawley has been around there for a long, long time. Obviously spent a long time in Sligo and has been a very good pro as well. So disappointing to see him leaving, obviously. You're guessing that he lives in Ballinasloe, so commuting up and down for training is probably very difficult, you know, and trying to look after yourself and keep yourself in good professional shape can be difficult if you're traveling a lot as well, you know, and he recently got married too, I think. So, yeah, so listen, it's a loss, obviously, to Harps, but listen, I suppose, you know, it gives an opportunity to Kevin look at other players, and then I know there's a few players in at the moment as well training with the first team, so I get an idea that he's probably looking at players in for July. An opening probably once the transfer window opens up to bring other players in with even more experience, similar to David. So that's an opportunity lost, obviously, regards to his experience, but it gives somebody else an opportunity to step into the pit. But you mentioned that their squad is stretched at the minute, and that, you know, that doesn't blend well for getting positive results. In order to get positive results and getting 3 points, you do need your best players available at all times, and the squad is quite thin. Even at the start of the season, the squad will be quite thin, so it'll be important to get all the fit players back playing and get the best out of all the players that are available. So listen, and obviously a draw last weekend away to Longford, probably not a bad result. If you're the full team, you might go and get 3 points. So it's important to get 3 points to the weekend.
Yeah, and we hear a lot about, you know, the geographical disadvantages that Harps have, but maybe one plus, Kevin might be able to pick a player or two up perhaps from the Irish League. So time will tell in that regard. Just looking at the table, UCD have had a tricky enough season. They're the visitors to Finn Park this weekend, Declan, and they now have gone above Harps in the table. We didn't expect them to struggle, but they seem to be beginning to get a little bit of form there again. And Harps UCD games down through the years, they generally are very tight affairs.
Yeah, listen, you're right. I mean, UCD, you look at the players they have, they haven't lost too many players, and normally they would lose three or four when players are coming near the end and they maybe have finished their education and they move on to different clubs, but that hasn't happened too much this season. Disappointingly, I don't know what the story is in regards to, you know, why they haven't performed, and they have good players and done really well the last couple of years, obviously, as well, you know. So listen, they're still it's a big scalp of them going to 3 points against them. I was obviously down at the UCD game last year, and UCD were very comfortable, I thought, throughout the whole game away in Finn Park, and, you know, they play the game the way you want to play it. The players are very comfortable on the ball, they're very quick in the transition, you know, the players can hurt you given the time, but, you know, their form hasn't been good, and they'll be looking obviously to come down and get 3 points. But it's Harps at home, so you're expecting a good performance, and all that supporters want is them to go out and give it everything they possibly can and have a really good attitude and a work attitude to, you know, get the ball down and pass it and excite the crowd, and you know, if they can perform to a high level, there's no doubt they're good enough to go on the 3 points against UCD as well.
Yeah, I know UCD have only scored 10 goals in 15 games, so that really is their problem, putting the ball into the back of the net. For Kevin, there's been a niggling injury there for Darren McGuinness. Grady Lombardo going off injured last week, his first choice strike force. He'll be hoping the two of them are back as soon as possible because they really do need them.
Yeah, they do. Scoring goals, Harps struggle a wee bit scoring goals sometimes, you know. So, and McGuinness was kind of finding form as well, and he's scoring goals. And you could see in the last while, obviously picked up an injury, and he's been stopping and starting a wee bit. He hasn't started the game coming on, you know. So that tells you that he's not 100% fit. And, you know, when you're stretched a wee bit with players and, you know, you're under a bit of pressure, as a manager, you've a reluctancy to push him in a wee bit earlier, you know, than he probably needs it, and he probably needs a bit more rest on it. But, you know, I suppose you're trying to fight it off as much as possible, trying to get your best players in the pitch, and you're hopeful that he might be available, you know, or one or two of them might be available from injury. You know, so listen, as I said earlier, the squad is quite thin and you want the best players available. So yes, McGuinness falls into that, and Lombardo as well, you know, so he's finding his feet really well, you know, really good athletic player as well. And it takes time for players to come into the club and to find their way, and, you know, to get, you know, so, and they're only new to the league as well, which, you know, takes a wee bit of time from that as well as adapting to a new club and new players. So it takes time, and they've performed reasonably well until they get injured. So it'll be important that they get them back fit and playing in the first team as quickly as possible.
We're approaching the halfway stage of the First Division campaign. Harps lie seventh. They're on 14 points. Just below them, Kerry and Longford also on 14, and then Athlone on 13. At the top end of the table, Declan, we've done Dundalk on 35. No surprise there on top. And then Bray, 31. Yeah. Cove, 29. It looks maybe for the first time really this season that the top three may sort of break away, and then it'll be left to the battle for fourth and fifth and those two playoff spots, and that's where Harps will be aiming.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's what your goal will be, you know. I mean, obviously you just want to catch the team in front of you. That's the first thing you need to do, and you need to win, you know, obviously one game to do that. So you need to hopefully get two or three ones on the bounce. That throws you up the table very, very quickly. You know, so that's what you're looking for. Yeah, I mean, I suppose you look at the top three teams, especially Cove and Dundalk, probably the biggest budgets in the league, and you're expecting Dundalk to be up there near the top of the table, similar to Cork last year. Obviously, Cove, we know that they imported pretty much, you'd say, all the half of the Cork team that got promoted last year. So they were 7 or 8 of those signed, and they spent a lot of money as well. And Bray probably has been a wee bit of a funny one because, you know, when we played them in Fan Park, and we comfortably beat them on the night, 5-0, I think it was. You know, you didn't think that they would go on a run after that, and they actually have, and they scored a lot of goals as well. So they've had form after that defeat in Fan Park, and they've done really well to be up there pushing, you know. So it'll be interesting to see how they pan out, but they've been going very, very well. But I agree with you, you know, it's there. The rest of the teams are going to be fighting off to try to get into playoff spots, you know, and that's, I suppose, that will be Kevin's aim now. It'll be try to sneak into that position, you know, and get into the playoffs, which would be a really, really bonus for Harps and the supporters.
Yeah, so Harps really hoping to win this weekend. They've just managed 3 wins in 14 outings, so it would be a boost. So Harps and UCD at Finn Park. Elsewhere, it's Bray against Wexford, Treaty meet Longford, Dundalk at home to Kerry, and Athlone against Cove Ramblers. As we look at the Premier Division, Declan, and, you know, starting off, there were games on Monday night, and Shamrock Rovers, a little bit of a statement, perhaps. 4-0 victors over St. Patrick's Athletic. And for the first time this season, a few weeks ago, I think there was 3 points between the top seven, but there's a little bit of a stretch in the table now.
Yeah, Shamrock Rovers had a wee bit of form, and normally don't have form until later on in the year, you know, but they've struck early, and that's a big, big blow, obviously. I was expecting St. Pat's to be up there, obviously, at the end of the season. I thought they were the team to beat with the players that they recruited and top end of the pitch, and they were really a good, strong squad. Yeah, listen, I suppose Shamrock Rovers have the best players available. I think that's what we safely say that, you know, you have Jack Byrne coming back in there, and, you know, your players at Graham Bourke, you know, he scored two last night as well. And, you know, your players, Aaron Green, scoring goals as well. So they have got real players that can hurt you and score you goals. And that's a big result for them against St. Pat's. You were thinking those two teams would be out fighting it out and to get a convincing 4-0 victory. St. Pat's have scored a lot of goals, but they conceded a lot of goals, which would be disappointing for Stephen Kenny, you know, and their coaching team. They'll not be happy with that. But yeah, listen, it's very exciting. A lot of teams up there. You know, Alan Reynolds was under a bit of pressure there about 4 or 5 weeks ago. And, you know, they were calling for his head, and suddenly he gets a run of results, back-to-back results, 4 or 5 results, and that pushes him up close to the second spot and the table up until the games last night. So, yeah, listen, it's one of those ones that you just don't know, you know, and, you know, it's everybody's beating each other. You don't know from one match to the next who's going to win, who's not going to win. You know, home form obviously has got a big thing to say, you know, so even the teams down the bottom are beating the teams up the top. So it's one of those seasons, just you don't know what's going to happen. But yeah, I mean, it looks very favourable to Shamrock Rovers at this point in time. They have the quality of players. If they can keep them fit and well, I think they'll be up there for sure. And obviously Gary are pushing hard as well, and you have Bowes pushing hard, and Pat's up there. So a lot of teams, you know, doing really, really well. It's an exciting league for sure. And again, you don't know what you're going to get. And Drogheda, a team that we never thought would be up there. We thought they'd be out fighting relegation, but they've really kicked on after they won the FA Cup last year, you know. So, you know, and Kevin Doherty's done a marvellous job with them, obviously. So, yeah, so it's very, very interesting. And obviously, this night they got a draw against Shelburne. And, you know, Shelburne, who were the champions last year, haven't really had form this year. A lot of draws and performances haven't been good, you know, so it's an interesting to see how Duffer can change those and kind of try to get 3 points and turn the draws into ones.
Yeah, it's a fascinating league at the moment. And Shamrock Rovers, the visitors to the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium this weekend. Derry City had a bit of a patchy start, but they're now second on goal difference ahead of Bohemians, 5 points behind Shamrock Rovers. So it's, I don't want to say it's a proverbial six-pointer at this stage of the season, but if Derry win, they're 2 points off the top. If they lose, well, Shamrock Rovers then have an 8-point advantage, and that would be quite a significant margin at this stage.
Yeah, I think so. I really do. Shamrock Rovers have went to Ryan McBride's stadium and have got good positive results in the last couple of years as well. So they'll not be feared of it going up and playing Derry. Derry probably not scoring as many goals as they have previously. Their football has been, as for me, attacking as they were last year and the year before. But what they have done is they've been very difficult to play against and not conceded too many goals, you know. And when they get a 1-0 victory or one score first, they're a good chance they'll keep a clean sheet as well. So they've defensively been very, very strong, and that's probably been the area that they've concentrated the most. But they do have players that'll hurt you and give them the chances as well. So, you know, and we knew that probably with the amount of players that Derry brought in at the start of the season, it was going to take them time to bed them all in. It was going to take them time for them to gel. And, you know, to be fair, they've done that, and they've done really well in the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. Now is, can they keep that going and stay up, you know, with the Shamrock Rovers of the Premier League? But also on top of that is, you know, they're going to have to throw out a statement next on Friday night and see can they go and get 3 points, and that would be a massive, massive result for them. And, you know, it'll just send a wee marker to the rest of the clubs that they're up there and they will be fighting the whole way to the very end, and that'll be positive for the league.
So just to recap the Premier Division fixtures for this weekend: Derry against Shamrock Rovers, Drogheda United against Bohemians, Galway at home to Cork City, it's Shelburne meeting Sligo Rovers, and St. Patrick's Athletic against Waterford. Just before we let you go, Declan, the bottom two, Sligo and Cork, both on 12 points, 8 adrift of Galway. Is it too early to say that it is just a two-team battle to avoid the drop?
Yeah, listen, it's an interesting one, obviously. You know, we've seen Keith Long losing his job, obviously, down in Waterford. You know, we've seen Tim Clancy stepping away from Cork City, and, you know, both of them have two new managers in place. And you know, so, yeah, listen, it's hard to know. You've two teams, Cork. I thought it would be, for me, the start of the season would be probably Waterford, Cork City, Sligo Rovers, and Drogheda. That's what I was thinking, the four teams. Drogheda are well up out of that. Galway have started very well and have dropped points in the last while, even though they're narrow victories. But Sligo got a big 1-0 victory against Sligo Rovers to stay level with Cork City. So for me at the moment, obviously, as those two teams are under pressure and they'll be fighting it out. And, you know, probably a big part of that will be who players, what players they can recruit in July in the transfer window, and how much money they have to go and spend, because it will come down to budgets at the end of the day, and you know who can bring in the best quality players that can have the biggest impact in July for me, and that's the way it'll be probably, you know. But you never know. Those two teams could go on a run of results, because you know, there's not much between all the teams in the league. It's very, very competitive, as I said earlier. So, you know, if you do what Alan Reynolds done in Bozen, won 4 or 5 in the bounce, get your way out of trouble. So, you know, and that's probably the one thing that hasn't happened. Both teams are, Cork City and Sligo Rovers, are very guilty of giving away bad goals. And that's been their Achilles heel. And, you know, so as managers going in there, you would think that that's one of the areas you want to tighten up on. Galway are draw points in the last while, but they don't concede money. They know they don't score a massive amount of goals neither, but they don't concede money. So as a result of that, I think they'll be okay and out of trouble towards the end of the season. They will get enough ones to get them out of trouble. So it probably will be, for, you know, I think Waterford will be probably pulled into it at some stage as well if Cork and Sligo Rovers can get a few ones as well. So a lot to play for. Very open in the top and extremely open in the bottom, I think, because you just don't know from one match to next who's going to win, who's not going to win. So it's a very interesting league. And what I will say is the quality in the league has been very good this year, you know. So
that's Declan Boyle in conversation with Highlands' Chris Ashmore, looking ahead to the League of Ireland fixtures, which are taking place tomorrow evening. Once again, just to remind you, we will have live regular updates from Harps against UCD tomorrow night. Dermot Doherty will be in action there. There's one other standout soccer game taking place this weekend, and it's in any show, and it's the Father O'Gara Cup final at McGinn Park on Saturday evening. Kickoff time is at 4 o'clock. Quigley's Point Swifts are up against Sea Rovers. Time for a commercial break here on the Score programme tonight. We'll be back with more after these.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Ordering your club gear is effortless with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the Northwest leading supplier for GAA clubs, at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to the Score. Well, in Gaelic games this weekend, there is 4 All-Ireland Senior Championship Round 1 games to take place on Saturday. 3 Northwest counties are involved in 2 of the ties. Up first at 5 o'clock, Derry go to the Athletic Grounds to take on the All-Ireland champions Armagh. While at 7 o'clock in Balbuffet, Donegal are playing Tyrone. We will have live coverage from both of those games, with the Donegal-Tyrone match featuring full live match commentary here on Highland. And part of our commentary team this weekend will be once again be Brendan Kilcoyne. Brendan, thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good evening, Ashin. I'm doing great. Weather is wonderful and championship match coming up at the weekend, so all is good in the world.
Yeah, lots to look forward to this weekend. And I suppose the All-Ireland series, does it come with a big health warning, does it, Brendan? Because we've seen what happened last weekend, where 3 of the provincial finalists were beaten, so they were. Now, the provincial winners have, from the weekend before, have had an extra weekend, you could say, heading into the games this weekend. But there's this sort of warning around the opening games in the All-Ireland series, that those sides that have got to provincial finals, that the recovery time and the prep time just doesn't seem to be adding up. So it's certainly going to make for an interesting weekend, but as I said, one that comes with a warning.
Absolutely, Oisín. Like, you look at last weekend's results, and particularly, I suppose, the Cav and Mayo, and Mayo coming off the back of a Connacht final defeat against Galway, and Cav going down, no one really expecting much from them, apart from their own supporters, maybe. And I don't know if there were too many of them down in McHale Park last Sunday, by all accounts, but they really turned Mayo over, and by all accounts, Mayo weren't at the races at all, so they weren't. And, you know, again, you had, you know, Clare, who were in the Ulster final, you down, going down, beating them. Now, that would have been expected, I think. I don't think that's a major surprise in that respect. Down, we saw Down were very competent against Donegal in the quarter-final of Ulster semi-final, Oisín. And then you have, you know, the big one then, the Dubs going down, beating Galway. The Dubs waiting in the long grass for a few weeks. Galway winning a very tough, tight encounter in the Connacht final against Mayo. And just Dublin were phenomenal last weekend. And anyone that discounted them prior to last weekend, they're certainly back in the mix now, Oisín, so they are. And we saw their, you know, the likes of Conor Callaghan, Kieran Kilkenny turning in, you know, huge performances for them. So they're going to be a threat for any team down the line. But yeah, you know, the structures are something that I think the GAA would probably need to look at. you look at Donegal and they've already played Derry, Monaghan, Down, Armagh, and now going up against the formidable force that is Tyrone, and after that then kind of Cavan and Mayo. So there's no break really for Donegal, so there isn't. And, you know, coming off the high of what was an extremely tough game, tough Ulster final against Armagh. We saw so many players going down with cramp, etc. So the recovery time isn't huge. But listen, they've had 2 weeks. I'm sure they'll have sat up and seen last weekend's results and taken note. And, you know, it's now all about getting ready for Saturday night and getting the bodies ready for that, Oisín.
Yeah, and Tyrone are very much in a similar situation to that of Dublin get into this game, Brendan.
Oh, listen. And Tyrone would consider themselves, I think, very unlucky to lose out in that game against Armagh, Oisín, in the semi-final. Or, you know, you would have thought, looking at it coming down the line, that Tyrone were going to get across the line. But, of course, Armagh got a turnover on young Rory Canavan up the field, and Rory Guggan then kicking a winning score to win it for them. But there's so much talent within that Tyrone team, Oisín. And, you know, they've been waiting in the long grass. I'm sure, you know, they're a proud footballing county. They've won 4 All-Irelands in the last 25 years. They're going to be gunning for Donegal this weekend, so they are. And they'll have known for a few weeks that it was probably going to be Donegal or Armagh since the draw was made, and they knew either of them games are enough to whet the appetite of the Tyrone Gaels. So they'll be gunning for this game. Of course, you know, you go back to their game against Armagh, there was obviously talk after of an illness bug running through the camp, and the likes of Matty Donnelly didn't start, Petey Hart didn't start, and then you have, what you call him, Paddy Hamshee, supposed to be back in the mix again now too. So, you know, there's so much, as I say, there's so much talent within that, and you look at the full forward line against Armagh that day of Darren McCurry and the two Canavans, Rory and Derek Canavan, and you know, they're just so good, Oisín. Now, I suppose the only thing is they're three of similar type footballers, so it'll be interesting to see if they do mix it up with maybe a Petey Hart in at 14 or a Matty Donnelly in at 14 this weekend to try and change the balance of that full forward line. But there's no doubt in their ability to get scores, and on their day, they can be devastating.
Yeah. As you say, Tyrone have been waiting in the long grass, but Donegal will have a pump on their step. They're Ulster champions once again. They're playing at home as well. Are they factors which are good enough for Jim McGuinness's side to get through this game, Brendan?
Definitely. And, you know, Donegal are going, taking along nicely without kind of, you know, hitting the heights that many would expect them or would want them to hit, kind of thing. And they've been dovetailing in big performances from different players, different weekends. Obviously, if the consistency of the likes of Brendan McCall, Sean Patton, Ryan McHugh, Michael Murphy, you know, Kieran Thompson, you have the consistency performances of them, but it hasn't all just clicked 100% for them, I'd say, themselves yet. You know, Patrick was quiet in the Ulster final. We saw Oisín Gallen with a devastating 5-minute, 10-minute spell, and, you know, really good to see him come back to form. And, you know, even the subs that came in, the likes of Niall O'Donnell, Steve McMenamin, and Owen McHugh in particular, you know, they had a huge impact on the game. And as it turns out, they were the second batch of subs that went in the Ulster final. But that's all good for competition within the squad and confidence in particular of them, particularly of Oisín Gallen and Niall O'Donnell, two forwards. Forwards are all about confidence, Oisín. And to see them two back on form and hopefully carrying that through to the weekend is a huge lift for Donegal. So, yeah, they're going to be going in. I suppose the big thing for them will be if the bodies are recovered, because it was such a demanding physical and mental game, the Ulster final. So the recovery from the physical side of it would have been first, and then mentally getting their head around the challenge of Tyrone that they posed this weekend for the last 10 days would have been their primary focus. And listen, Jim McGuinness, we know his record in Ulster. Interestingly, I suppose Malachy O'Rourke is the only manager to have got the better of Jim in Ulster in 21 games, Oisín. So I know this isn't Ulster championship, but Malachy O'Rourke, a highly respected coach, and I'm sure he'll have watched Donegal a couple of times now. He'll know what their strengths are, and any perceived weaknesses, he will be going for them, gunning for them, Oisín.
Sean Patton may or may not line out. We do know that he's been in a boot since the Ulster final. We wait to see what his availability is going to be. But for a game of this size, even if Sean wasn't available, it would be a blow. But listen, Gavin Mulroney can come in and can do a fine job, Brendan.
He can, and he has done previously. I think last year he played, Sean wasn't available, if I remember rightly, for a game last year, Oisín, and Gavin came in and did well. But you want Sean Patton on the pitch, so you do, particularly these type of games. And kickouts have become such a huge factor in games now that, you know, they're 50-50, really. A lot of them are just pumped out the middle. But Sean's ability to ping one when your team is really under pressure is enormous, so it is. And, you know, we saw in the Ulster final, Michael Murphy come tearing through the middle and Sean just pinging him. The ball didn't go above 5 feet in the air and just pinging him through the middle. And it was crucial possession for Donegal at that stage of the game. And that's what Sean does. That's what Sean has in his locker. So obviously all Donegal supporters and Gaels will be hoping that Sean is okay and ready to go. And if not, as you say, Gavin Mulroney then will step up. He's been involved in the squad for the last 2 or 3 years. He understands what the team want and what the team need. So I'm sure he will step in and do the job very well. But as I said, Sean Patton, you want to see him between the sticks on Saturday evening.
And of course, the other end is we've got Niall Morgan for Tyrone, who didn't have the greatest day against Armagh. But when Morgan can go in form with kicks and work up the field, he can become a real added threat for Tyrone.
Oh, 100%. Like, he's a top class goalkeeper. And you correctly said, like, he'd a bit of a nightmare against Armagh in the semi-final, really struggled. And I think that you can attribute a lot of that to Armagh and their aggressive press and the way they cut out his long-range kickouts also. And, you know, definitely he's someone that I'm sure will get a lot of Jim's and the management team's attention this week as they, you know, study what he does and how that can be counteracted. And, you know, it'd be something, you know, Ethan Rafferty in goal for Armagh is a similar type goalkeeper, likes to get up the field and likes to be involved in the play up the field. Will we see Niall Morgan do much of that this weekend? It'll be interesting because, you know, you send him up, Donegal can be devastating, particularly if Sean is in the goals on the break kind of thing. And if he goes too deep, he could be caught with the pace that we know that Donegal possess when they do get a turnover. And they are running. They've got some serious pacey runners, and I'm sure Tyrone and Malachy O'Rourke will be thinking of that too. But that's the beauty of it, Oisín. You have two great exponents. We had the same in the Ulster final. You've two great exponents in Sean Patton and Niall Morgan of the current day goalkeeper, but two completely different sides of the coin, I suppose. But both well capable of having a huge influence on the game.
Yeah. What's the other key matchups do you feel is going to be vital in this game, whoever comes through at the weekend, Brendan?
Well, obviously, Darren McCurry is a huge threat in the, you know, and he's playing some brilliant football. Like, some of the scores he scored, some of the points he kicked against Armagh were outrageous. So they were, you know, in the semi-final. He's in great form. He's going to take a lot of curbing. Then you have Darragh Canavan. Didn't have his best of games, maybe, in the against Armagh, but we know what he's capable of. So tying them two down is going to be huge. And I suppose the big one then, when you're looking at it off the other side of the field, they expect Peter Teig to mark Michael Murphy. Now, there is also the option there if Paddy Hansey is back, who has had the previous encounters with Michael down through the years. But whoever takes on that task, it's an onerous task from the point of view that Michael has been so consistent in all the games. And he just does the simple things well, Oisín. You know, I suppose, you know, we'd like to see him play at the edge of the square. You recall that monumental catch he made, one-hand catch he made at one stage in the Ulster final. We'd like to see him in there and get more of that. But his influence when he comes out the field too is massive. And it's just his calmness on the ball, his composure, and, you know, he's just always appears to be in the right place at the right time. So getting that mix right for Malachy O'Rourke was who marks him inside and who takes him out the field will be key too. But, you know, both teams will be lining up their respective matchups, and I suppose we'll wait to see what they are at 7 o'clock on Saturday evening, but there will be some very interesting ones in that. Will Paddy Hampshire come back into the starting 15? You would probably expect so. And I would expect that Matty Donnelly would come back in because you just feel that that Tyrone full forward line needs that bit of power, a bit of strength inside, so it does.
Yeah. Well, Jim McGuinness make a number of changes from the last day that lined out in the Ulster final.
Hard, I suppose it depends on fitness, Ashin, but when everyone is fit, you would think that that was, you know, nearly as strong as team going out the last day. Maybe Jason McGee, but the, you know, there was a bit of a worry about Jason maybe having a calf injury after the game. But certainly there's a lot of consistency within that team. It's just for it all to pull it all together. And I don't anticipate, barring injuries, too many changes in the starting 15. You know, spoke earlier about Oisin Gallen coming back in, regaining his form. Niall O'Donnell now will be pushing hard, and I suppose it depends on how the last 10 days training went for him. You know, and Big Huey, who wasn't named in the starting 15 and started, had a massive game, and obviously his goal had a huge impact on that game also. So I don't anticipate too many changes on the Donegal team, assuming that all are fit. Now, the word is that Owen Ban Gallagher is back and flying at training, so he's obviously a huge boost if he's back. But starting him would probably be a bit much to ask, having not played much football over the last few months.
Yeah, and I suppose looking at the structure, I know we mentioned it earlier, Brendan, but like if you finish top of your group, you're going to play four games in what, a 6-week period if you get to the quarter final. If you don't, you've got a prelim quarter final. So that would be five games with three of them on the bounce in a 6-week period. That's a very big ask, is it, of groups of players, the way things are poised at the moment, if you're going to finish second or third in your group.
Yeah, that's the carrot to win the group, Oisin. You know, it's of huge importance to get that week off that the prelim quarterfinals are on, to finish top of your group, to avoid second or third if possible, because, you know, as you say, it is a huge task, both physically and mentally, on players to be, you know, because these are all big games. These are all big championship games against teams. So Cavan beat Mayo, they're going to be right up for it. Going down to Breffni Park isn't going to be an easy game. The last game then against Mayo, who'll be fighting strongly to, I suppose, to make a quarterfinal, having lost the first day, they have a big task ahead of them. So it's going to be huge for Donegal if they can finish top of the group to buy that week and to give a bit of recovery to the players. Because, you know, we have to remember Donegal have played four games already in Ulster, four tough championship games. And, you know, most of them are played in summer conditions, hot, heavy, or hard, fast pitches, you know. So it will take its toll on the bodies. So I'm sure that'll be foremost in Donegal's mind going into this weekend. If they get a win against Tyrone, they'll know they're in pole position to drive on and finish top of the group. And that would be massive in the context of, as you say, you're coming up against a team then in the quarterfinal that has played four games in 5 weeks.
Yeah. There is, of course, other games away from Donegal and Tyrone this weekend, notably Armagh and Derry. Armagh will be looking to put the wrong of the result in the Ulster final to bed now by getting back into action quickly against a Derry side who have failed to light up in the championship for, what, 14 or 15 months now. Just one championship won for them in the last two campaigns in Ulster and indeed in the All-Ireland series. So what are you expecting of this tie, and is it a game that you expect Armagh to navigate through safely, Brendan? They did, of course, do that at the end of the league, but can Derry cause them any problems at all?
Derry are the strange one, Oisin. You know, 14, 15 months ago, they were National League champions. Everyone was speaking about them as, you know, potential All-Ireland winners, and it's just gone downhill for them since then. I think, you know, you mentioned they've only had one win, and that was in championship. And I think that, well, they beat Westmeath, and they beat Mayo on penalties last year. So they've really struggled, so they have, between injuries and management issues, etc. So, again, I suppose the fact that they have been, you know, off for the last 6 weeks kind of thing should be a plus for them. I'd say they got time to go away, and, you know, whether Paddy Talley can pull that all together in that period of time and get them back to, we know the talent they possess, we know the underage talent that they've put through over the last number of years. They had injuries going into that, into their championship game against Donegal, but, you know, they were poor that evening, Oisin, looking at them. They started off fairly well, first 20 minutes, 25 minutes. You thought they were going to provide a proper challenge, but they just faded away. They wilted in the second half. And, you know, it's a huge ask for them to go to the Athletic Grounds. Armagh have been in this position before. They were in this position this time last year, and you know, we saw how they rebounded and went on. And I think we have a stronger Armagh squad panel this year. We saw the subs that they're capable of introducing in the Ulster final. They just look awesome at times. And, you know, they'll consider themselves very unlucky not to have won that Ulster championship. They've been beaten in the last three Ulster finals on after extra time or on penalties. So they're a driven force. They're a driven team. They remind me a lot of maybe the Meath team of the late 80s, that they just don't give up. They always keep plugging away. And I expect the same for them. And I expect a huge performance for them in the Athletic Grounds against Derry at the weekend. Against the Derry team that are struggling, against the Derry team that they put four goals past in the National League. And okay, Shane McGuigan was sent off that day, and it was at the start of the new FRC rules, and they really struggled with 14 men when Shane had been sent off. But Armagh still put four goals behind them, or put four goals past them that day. So Armagh will certainly fancy themselves. I think they could be going in as hot favourites. It will be a surprise, based on what we know and based on current form, if Derry were to pull something out of the hat. But, you know, Derry have the quality. They have a lot of top players through the team. There should be, most of them should be available in the injuries cleared up, apart from Garrett McInnes, I think, who the cruciate. So I just think I can't see Anthony O'Neill and Armagh winning the Athletic Grounds this weekend, actually, to be honest. It would be a huge surprise, anything else.
Okay, Brendan, moving away from the All-Ireland Series at senior level. At minor level, Donegal are opening their Tier 2 championship campaign with a quarter-final against Derry at Celtic Park this Saturday. That one starts at 12 o'clock. Donegal, of course, losing out in the Ulster minor championship semi-final to Cavan last weekend. Cavan on Sunday evening are playing Tyrone in this year's Ulster minor final. You've been keeping an eye on the minors in the province, so you have, Brendan. You watched that Donegal-Cavan game last week. What sort of game can we expect from Cavan and Tyrone finally this coming Sunday?
Yeah, I suppose Cavan, you know, I think it's their first final since maybe 12 or 13 years, Oisin. And, you know, that was a team that went on then to win numerous under-21 titles back in the mid-noughties, or the mid-tennies. So, you know, they'll be really happy to get into a final. They had a really good win against Donegal last weekend. They'll be going in with a lot of confidence against the Tyrone team, who are always there or thereabouts. You know, Tyrone have this habit, as have Derry, of just producing fantastic minor under-20 teams over the last number of years. They've been the dominant force along with Derry at this minor level. So Tyrone's experience and know-how probably should be enough to see them through against Cavan. But, you know, again, it should be an enthralling encounter between these two counties. And, you know, we've seen Derry, you know, been a dominant force at minor level for a number of years. And again, drawn against Donegal, as it would turn out, it's somewhat similar to the senior draws, where the Ulster teams seem to be very hard to be kept apart. There's a lot of familiarity there. But going back to the Ulster final, you know, Cavan be delighted to be in it in the first place. They'll fancy their chances going in against this Tyrone team, who I don't think they're at the level of previous teams. So 50-50 game, but I think Tyrone's just know-how at that level and at this stage of the competition might just see them through.
Okay. Listen, Brendan, many thanks for joining us this evening on The Score. We do, of course, look forward to that Donegal game this coming Saturday evening. Starts at 7 o'clock. It's the start of the All-Ireland Series for the North West Counties. It's a big derby clash as well. And there is, of course, full live match commentary from that tie here on Highland. Brendan, you, of course, will be part of our commentary team once again this weekend. A match we're all looking forward to. And we'll be speaking more on it over the weekend. Thanks for joining us tonight, Brendan.
Okay, Oisin, look forward to the weekend.
And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you will of course be able to recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Until then, from me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.